You're listening to the Grace Church Podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to bringing you biblical guidance to life's most important issues. We want to thank you for joining us for this week's message. We pray you find strength and encouragement as we learn from God's truth together. For more information, go to visitgracechurch.com.
Hey guys, it is go time. And, go time is used for when it's time to get going, take that first step. And we're talking about the power of a small next step today. So, I've been thinking about, rethinking goal setting and planning and things. I've been reading and studying some Michael Hyatt, materials. So Michael Hyatt's kind of a productivity guru and expert. One of the things he says about goal setting and, he says that make sure you set your goals, your annual goals, in your discomfort zone. Set it out there where it's not comfortable. You're not going to normally, naturally do it. You don't change anything, you're going to get that. Make sure you're in your discomfort zone for a goal. And then, don't plan out every step. Like a lot of us, actually, we get stressed out, us planners. We want every step laid out before we take step one. Don't do that. What he says is, go ahead and mark down the first few easy steps in your comfort zone you could do. I could do this, I could do this, I could do this. Don't worry about step 5 through 500. And then just do some of those easy steps. So I've been thinking about that, how it applies to our life. Like let's say your big discomfort zone idea is getting a new job. Because your job frankly stinks. And so you'd like a new job. Well, that's in your discomfort zone. What could you do to get a new job? Well, you could do something in your comfort zone. You could update your resume. Or make a resume, or look up what the word resume means. Like, so you, but you could do that. You could look up word resume. What does a resume look like today? That's comfort zone stuff for your discomfort. Let's say you wanted to eat more healthy. You wanted to eat more nutritionally healthy for yourself. That seems overwhelming to you. How do I do that? Well, you could download an app that lets you track your nutrition and calories and document your first meal. That's it. Studies have shown if you track what you're eating, you'll be more mindful of what you're eating. Maybe you want time with God. But it feels very overwhelming. How in the world am I supposed to do this thing? I don't know what to do. What's an easy step for that overwhelming discomfort zone goal? You could buy a journal or just grab a piece of paper and you could set your first appointment. Like, what if you set your first time with God appointment for later today or tomorrow? And an alarm on it. I'm going to spend 10 minutes with God tomorrow. There's me and God. What if it's a relationship? And so there's a discomfort level with you. This relationship is not going well. So that's your discomfort zone, addressing that. But what could you do in your comfort zone? You could pray for them every day. You're not doing that. You could absolutely do that. I could pray every day, or I could reach out to them, or maybe I could go lead with an apology. I am sorry for what I did. I am so sorry. Like, so I've been even thinking about the nature of, is this even biblical? And I even thought, this is what the Great Commission is. So 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave the baton, this is a runner's baton, gave the baton to his apostles at the Mount of Olives and says, take the gospel, the good news, the Bible and the good news all around the world to every culture, every person, every language, every man, woman, and child. That is totally a discomfort zone goal and it's not yet done. But the path to global evangelism, which is discomfort zone, starts with you and them doing a comfort zone step. It brings me to my question for you. Is it time for your next step? So here's our question. I'm not sure what you're stuck in. Your relationship is stuck. Your job is stuck. Your spiritual life is stuck. You're stuck. And you're overwhelmed. You're trying to plan out what's going to happen all these steps. You can't figure it out. That's not faith. Faith is not sight. Faith is not figuring out first. Faith is taking your first couple steps. Then God shows you step 3 and 4. Take those. Now God shows you step 5. Sometimes God doesn't show you all those other steps because it's faith. What is your next step in your walk with Christ, in your life? And so that's our topic today. I'm going to go ahead and pray. We're going to start a brand new series through the book of Acts. It's called Go Time. And we'll start talking about it. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus dying for us on the cross, for being buried, rising again, paying for all of our sins. Thank you, Lord, that our goodness and worth is not based on us. when we fail, when we sin, when we don't do things, we don't lose one ounce of love. When we confess that sin, you forgive us instantly. We don't have to feel bad the rest of the day or the rest of the night to atone for what we did. Your cross forgives and cleanses the moment we turn back to you. Thank you for that. Thank you to your loving parent who just wants his kids to engage. I pray you'd help all of us. If there is a next step that we are delaying, we are holding on to, not doing, we pray you'd prompt us and help us to take that next easier step to that discomfort zone goal in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to be in Acts chapter 1 if you want to join me. Acts chapter 1. I do want to show a picture of what's happening at the Mount of Olives so you can picture this moment. So here's a picture of the Mount of Olives. This is our team at the Holy Land that just came back serving and mostly also visiting just the holy sites. If you want to join me, I'm leading a team in November to do this as well. There's still time to join our team to the Holy Land. Travel with me to the various sites. It's an unbelievable bucket list kind of moment. But what? Notice the walls of Jerusalem in the background. There's the Al-Aqsa Mosque right there, operating mosque. There's the Dome of the Rock, two of the holiest sites in Islam. There's the walls of Jerusalem. They're on the Mount of Olives where Jesus ascended to heaven. Next slide is a picture of what it might look like. Again, there's the walls of Jerusalem. But now, back in Jesus' day, there's the Jewish temple before it was destroyed in 70 AD. There's Jesus and the apostles. This is the image, keep in your mind, of this conversation we're about to see. Jesus is about to take the invisible elevator to heaven in their eyes. Some final words for them. Have a conversation. And they're on the Mount of Olives to start global evangelism. Okay, so today we're going to talk about how the apostles believed he was alive. Like they heard him, touched him, saw him. He was alive. And then they see how they're called to take the gospel of the world. And then we're going to see what were they doing? Well, you'll see in a second. So the apostles believe. First of all, the apostles believe. Verse 1 says this. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Okay, the writer of Acts was a medical doctor. I'm not sure if you're a medical doctor, but we hope you're detail-oriented. We care about you. We hope you care about us as patients. God bless. We need you to be detail-oriented. He was. And so he met the Apostle Paul on his missionary journeys. You can find the moment that Dr. Luke met Paul. As you read through Acts, he's saying, they did this, they did this, they did this, and it shifts. We did this, we did this. So he joins this missionary team. Dr. Luke then collects the stories of Jesus, because there's all these stories going around, into a single resource called the Gospel of Luke. Part one of his story. Then, Dr. Luke writes the second part of that story, which is Acts. When you read Luke and Acts, that's part one and part two. Unfortunately, the Bible, John's between them, but it's part one and part two. Then it says this, verse 3. To whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Okay, so Dr. Luke documents these 40 days. Basically, Jesus spent 40 days after his resurrection appearing over and over and over. 10 times he appears. Sometimes to individuals, sometimes large groups. Sometimes at nighttime and daytime. Sometimes inside and outside. But all the time demonstrating with many infallible proofs that Jesus was dead and is now alive. So if you're an atheist or a skeptic, we think it's awesome you're here. But when you read a statement like that, you're like, come on. There is no proof that Jesus rose again. What are you saying? This is made up. You just made it up. And I get that feeling. I'm totally with you. I was with you on that. Frankly, when you talk to Christians, you're like, what proof do you have? They're like, well, the Bible says. You're like, I don't care what the Bible says. Tell me what proof you have. I get that. Christians, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if someone asked you, what proof do you have of the resurrection? What would you tell them? So, tell you a story then. This is Lee and Leslie Strobel from 1972. This is their wedding photo. I love that 70s suit. That is just awesome. We don't have enough ruffles today, in my opinion. And so they get married. Lee went to Mizzou. He's a Tiger. And now I lost all the K-State and KU fans. He went to journalism school. He went to Yale for law school. He went back to Chicago, worked at the Chicago Tribune as their legal affairs correspondent. He was an investigative reporter. They married 7 years later. Leslie, his wife, and this story is documented in his book called The Case for Christ. And I was told, also there's a movie, right? Somebody told me it's on Netflix right now called The Case for Christ. And they even said it's not a bad, cheesy Christian movie, which I like hearing that, because many are. But by the way, so 7 years into their marriage, she tells him the most horrifying facts. Horrifying. I became a Christian. He's like, no! Lee is an atheist. Total atheist. Christians are idiots. There is no proof. And so here's a quote he writes in The Case for Christ, his book. It's about his wife, Leslie. Leslie stunned me in the autumn of 79 by announcing she had become a Christian. This is 7 years into their marriage. I rolled my eyes and braced for the worst, feeling like the victim of a bait and switch scam. I'd married one Leslie, the fun Leslie, the carefree Leslie, the risk-taking Leslie. And now I feared she was going to turn into some sort of sexually repressed prude who would trade our upwardly mobile lifestyle for all-night prayer vigils and volunteer work in grimy soup kitchens. Obviously not a great view of Christianity. So he's fearful, and he thinks, I figured it'd be easy to disprove the resurrection and thus liberate my wife from her newfound faith in Christ. I'm going to investigate and show these idiot Christians they have no proof. Again, I ask you, if someone asked you, what proof do you have that Jesus even lived? You have any proof that he died? You have any proof that he rose again? You have any proof? There is proof. And it doesn't, for a non-believer, saying, well, the Bible says is irrelevant. It means nothing to them. Unless you ask them, would you treat the ancient documents that make up the New Testament like any other ancient document? That seems fair. Treat it with the skepticism of any ancient document. Okay. So this next slide is picture worthy. Get your phones out because you have no proof. Now you got proof. So take a picture of this because you need it because you don't know what to say. Four compelling reasons to believe the resurrection actually happened. This is an article by Lee Strobel. I posted it at my Twitter and Facebook page, at Tim Howie. And you can read the 3 or 4 page article. It's not very long. It's a little subset of his larger book, The Case for Christ. What proof do we have? Well, first one is ancient sources confirm Jesus was executed. By the way, which confirms Jesus was real. Some people are out there like, I don't even know if Jesus is real. Are you crazy? There are 5 independent, non-biblical sources saying Jesus was not only alive and real, but he was killed. So Lee Strobel's like, okay, he's real. And he was executed. Evidence. Not counting even the Bible evidence, but ancient legends. He's like, it's all made up. It's all just made up fact. Until he talked to historical sociologists, which talk about how ancient legends required over 2 generations, your kids and grandkids, to wipe out the truth. Why? There were too many people who remembered the truth. Just make up something. Here's the problem with that. Some of the earliest sources of the story of Jesus are found within months of the death and resurrection. Not 2 generations. The earliest passage is 1 Corinthians 15, 3-7. Paul says, this is being passed around already. Okay. What about the tomb? Lee found that Jesus' opponents conceded that the tomb was empty. The easiest way to stop Christianity is to produce the body of Jesus. Show us the body. They didn't show the body because the body's walking around. And they basically kind of said, okay, we found the tomb empty. He didn't visit. I don't know what happened. Let's say the body was stolen. They conceded the tomb was empty. Finally, the ancient sources confirm resurrection eyewitnesses. There are 9 independent, some are Bible, but some are not in the Bible, independent documentation from ancient sources saying, yes, there are actual people in history walking around saying they were visited by the risen Jesus. Source is not in the Bible. Lee, after all of this, went, after 2 years, here's his quote. "It was the evidence from science and history that prompted me to abandon my atheism and become a Christian." See, you can get there without believing the Bible is inspired of the Word of God. Treat it like any other document with the other ancient sources. There is historical proof. Dr. Luke wrote many infallible proofs. The apostles believed. They believed he was alive. I believe he's alive. Do you believe he's alive? Okay, so they believed, but now they're called. Luke then gets into the fact that they were called to take the gospel to every nook and cranny of this world, and a job that's not yet done and passed down to us, this baton, for 2,000 years. So he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, "And being assembled," Jesus, picture that moment, the Mount of Olives, Jesus and the apostles overlooking, seeing Jerusalem and the temple there, "being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John," that's John the Baptist, picture going down in the Jordan River, dunking people, "John truly baptized with water." That's what baptism means, immersed. "But you should be baptized," immersed, dunked in the Holy Spirit, "with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now." Start with that moment when you receive the Holy Spirit, the moment of salvation, you are dunked or immersed in the Holy Spirit. He's about to give them this discomfort zone goal of taking the gospel to every people group in the world, which is not yet done, which is passed down to us. It's our role, reaching the world with a love. But he gives them comfort zone steps. Notice the two steps he gives them. Don't leave Jerusalem. What's the problem with that statement? They're not in Jerusalem. They're on the Mount of Olives. They're 2/3 of a mile away from Jerusalem. They have to walk 2.5 times around a track to reach the world for Jesus. They have to wait also. Once they go there, your other baby step, wait. Keep your hands to yourself. Don't bug your neighbor. Just wait for the Holy Spirit to come. So then the apostles basically say, we'll skip this, we'll summarize it. "Hey, so when are you going to kick out the Romans and take over?" And Jesus says, "You're not going to know that day." But let's move on to the discomfort zone. Verse 8. "But you shall receive power," that's the Holy Spirit, "when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me." You'll tell people I'm alive in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and at the end of the earth. Okay, so Jesus gives them the discomfort zone goal that you and I have received this baton. I mean, if you're a Christian, somebody passed the good news of Jesus Christ to you, and you took the baton, the gospel, the good news of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and it's for us to pass it on. By the way, we're supposed to pass it on to Jerusalem. That was the city. Wherever you're at, you're supposed to pass it on to people around you, your city. And in all Judea, that's your kind of people near you who are like you. There's people who hang with, they eat the same food, same clothing, same lifestyle. Samaria are the areas you avoid. Because there are people near you, but they're not like you. You avoid that area of town or that place in the country or whatever. And to the end of the earth. How are we doing on this? Here's a map of the end of the earth, how we're doing after 2,000 years. This is progress of the gospel by people group with the website, the Joshua Project. Notice there's three types of colors here. There's four, but we'll point out three. Green, yellow, red. Green is established church. Yellow is formative church. Red, unreached, least reached. It's like less than 2% Christians, which missiologists say that's what you need to get to so the church can self-sustain and not get crushed. There are red pockets in various places around here. We minister in the red in the Brazil Amazon. Notice where most of the red is. It's this box. Most of the red is in the 1040 window, between 10 degrees north latitude and 40 degrees north latitude. Who are these people that don't know Jesus? Well, North Africa, Middle East, Southeast Asia. Okay, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, communists, animistic cultures. These are people who don't have the peace that I experience. They don't have it. They don't have the joy that I experience in Christ. And frankly, you don't. They don't have the connection to God, the forgiveness of sins. they're working their way to heaven or to reincarnation. They're working really hard. They don't have it. Does this chart move you? Well, it doesn't move me, because charts don't move me. Colors don't move me. I got to have stories or individuals. So I'm going to show you, here's just six quick stories of how you're part of Grace Church. You're impacting the red because you're part of Grace Church. We can't do all the red. We can do dots of the red. So here's our translator in the Godavari language. So we're actually in the process of finishing a Bible translation for the Godavari people. 700,000 people do not have a Bible. This woman is your translator. You're helping fund her and fund the translation of the Bible to Godavari. So when you fund a verse at a time, she is translating the Bible. We're impacting the red together. This next picture is a picture of the Tutuyu tribe. Now, this guy's not a chieftain and he's not the assistant chieftain, but on one of our actual trips to the Amazon, one of our members led the assistant chieftain to Christ. We're impacting the red. He has joy. Other people have joy. The tribe is changing, taking the gospel out. We're impacting the red together. This next picture is a man working with special needs in South Asia. Because you're part of Grace Church and you give and you serve, we are helping fund this guy. This guy works with those with special needs in South Asia. And many, quite often parts of the world, if you have special needs, it's good luck with all that. Either lock you up or send you out. Well, he finds these people, brings these guys in, lives with them, supports them, sometimes for a lifetime, shares Jesus with them and other people. You're impacting the red through the ministry to those with special needs. This next one is the ladies we're discipling in South Asia. So these are ladies among a people group with 500 million people who don't know the name of Jesus. Because you're serving and giving, we are funding their discipleship, leadership training to send them out to reach their people. You're impacting the red. This next photo is our team in South Asia. They are facing the wrong direction. Would you please turn around? They can't. They have to have their identity kept secret. This team is a miracle. It's KU, MU, K-State students. It's a miracle! How can they work together? Tigers and Jayhawks and Wildcats working in love and harmony. You know that it's a miracle. These guys are seeing in South Asia. They are seeing actual people. They had some time where they didn't see. It's kind of discouraging. People are coming to Jesus. You're impacting the red. You're impacting the red. This last one is a group of men. They are church planters being trained because we're impacting the red. You're helping us do that. These guys are getting trained right now. They will all, on average, start between three churches in 5 years. Each of them. We're impacting the red. Now that moves me. That excites me. Because Jesus gave us, somebody loved me enough to tell me the good news of Jesus. There's lots of people who have no access to it. That's where God's heart's at. It's really hard. It's hard to pick up your family and move to an Islamic culture, Buddhist culture, Hindu culture, animistic, communistic culture. Yet, how will they hear unless somebody goes? We're impacting the red. So what are these guys doing? We believed in the resurrection. We were called to take the gospel to our city and around the world. What are these guys doing? They're waiting. They're doing just what some of you are doing. Why are you waiting on your next step? I should go to Explore class. I've been coming, going to this church for a while. I should go. I should be in a Grace group. I don't know. It's really hard. I don't know. I probably should be volunteering. I'm a knickknack. I'm a church knickknack. You know what knickknacks are in your house? They sit in your house. They collect dust. They look good. They don't do anything. I'm a church knickknack. I'm collecting dust, doing nothing around here. I should do something around here instead of being served. Me, me, me. Welcome to Grace Church. And so, that's my loving message of joy and grace and peace and harmony. Look what it says, they're waiting. Verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up like an invisible elevator, like a balloon you let go, taken up. And a cloud received him out of their sight. What should they do then? He's gone. They should walk 2.5 laps. Go down the hill, go up the hill, go back to Jerusalem. Just kind of wait. Two easy comfort zone steps to reach people for Jesus. We underestimate the power of our small faith steps. Who cares if I start volunteering? It doesn't really matter. Are you sure? They had to walk two-thirds of a mile and wait. And that was the start of a path to changing the world. Are you so sure that you not getting a grace group, not serving, doesn't matter hugely to this world? That's what faith is. You take your step. You take your step. You take your step. So it says, verse 10, while they looked steadfastly to heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why? Why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Those guys are standing there at the very end. He's going, God, there's a... Poof. These two angels show up. Waiting. Waiting. Why are you waiting? Guys, what is that simple next step of faith you could take that you're not taking? Well, I'm thinking about it. I'm praying about it. I'm really intending on doing it. Really, why? Why are you waiting? Why are you waiting? I stand in the place of these two angels. Unfortunately, you don't have angels. You got me, which is the opposite. Why are you waiting? Why are you waiting to take that step of faith? Well, yeah, it's not a big deal. Are you so sure? A small hike changed the world. Because God said, just do that. I'm not asking you to worry about step 5 to 500. Just take your next step. That's all I'm asking. And they did that. Verse 12. It says in verse 12, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. A Sabbath day's journey. So the Jewish peoples in the Old Testament were not supposed to work on Saturday. Don't work on the Sabbath. It's a day of rest. Seventh day of the week, Saturday. Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. Do not work. So people were asking, well, how far can I walk and it not be considered work? They figured out two-thirds of a mile. It was even the easiest journey. They had to walk down the hill about a sixth of a mile, walk up the hill about another sixth of a mile, 2.5 times around the track. That was the step that you take. You're like, I'm not really serving. I'm really thinking about it. When my schedule opens up, it will never open up. Let's be honest. It will never open up. You think your enemy is going to ever keep your schedule wide open? You'll always have a reason not to serve. I get it. You have to carve out time. I'll tell you what, instead of taking a Sabbath day's walk, if you're at our South Overland Park campus, can you not make a beeline to your car when this ends? Instead of being like 2 to 3 minutes, gotta get the car, gotta see anybody. Instead of doing that, go toward the cafe and turn right. There's a ministry fair there with all types of ministries represented. What if your Sabbath day's walk? That's easy. You could do that. You could walk straight. You could do that. I believe in you. I saw you walk in. You could walk straight. You could walk through and look at the ministry areas. This. Do you realize we're sending out not one, but two locations? Awesome people are going. Awesome people. We need people to step up in leadership or a little bit more volunteering or step into volunteering roles. We underestimate the power, the ripple effect of our work. Is it time for your next step is the question. Is it time for your next step? Here's a series of next steps. Here's our Grace Church growth path. At Grace, you say, how do I grow at Grace Church? Four steps. Explore, connect, lead, go. There's our four steps. Explore. By the way, I've given six little small steps. I'm not saying do all six steps. Each of them are Sabbath day's journey. Easy comfort zone steps. Explore. You could read, if you're not a believer, you could read that Lee Strobel article or the book. Maybe that's your step. Exploring. You're an atheist, agnostic. You could do that. Explore class. We teach that roughly once a month. The next Explore classes are happening, I think, at our South Overland Park campus next Saturday, August 25th. And then at both campuses on Sunday, September 9th, you could take Explore class. You could take that. That's your small step. One session, no commitment. You could do that. That's your Sabbath day's journey. How about connecting? Group link. What's group link? It's speed dating for grace groups. Speed dating for small groups. You don't have a small group. Well, you could come to one session It's not a lifetime sentence with a bunch of other people who don't know if they want a small group. And it's amazing how God often forms small groups out of a bunch of people showing up, kind of scared and not sure if they even want a small group. Boom. New grace groups, speed dating for grace groups, group links coming up, South Urban Park on Friday night, South Urban Park, 8:24. Ministry fair, we already talked about that. You could walk straight instead of turning right and beelining to your car or turning left. Lead. You can take an expanded role. We need people to step expanded roles. Go. Now, send step. That's coming in January. That is really hard. Frankly, some people should not take that. It's too hard. It's just the fourth step up. Forget about it. But other people, if you want leadership training, discipleship, investment in you on a leadership level, that's coming. And so this is not an easy thing, but talking about send step could be easy. You would go talk to Justin Raby. Now, I get it. Talking to him is not the easiest thing in the world, but you could gut that out and talk to him. I'm joking because I have the mic at this point. I'd like to get involved. Is this something I need to grow in? You could gauge with this. What is your next step? Would you please, why are you waiting? And double check your answer would never be fixed. Because here's what happens. We get an answer. Well, if this gets fixed, seriously, another answer will come or that answer will stay. I promise you. Now, here's Grace Church's role in the global kingdom, we believe. Our vision is to help everyone become an outward-focused follower of Jesus. It starts over here with follower of Jesus. That's the most important part. Then you help people care about others besides just themselves. Then they help somebody else. And they cycle through. They make new followers. Why don't you care about somebody else besides just you? Why don't you help somebody else do it? That's how it cycles through. Our long-term strategy is to plant up to 100 churches in 20 years. Started 2 years ago. As of this fall, we're going to be down to 97 in 18 years. It's not a hard and fast goal. We're just trying to make more disciples. Whether it's 20, that's awesome. Whether it's just 3, that's better than 0, by the way. And new sites are better at making new disciples. It's about making disciples, people coming to Jesus. I'm going to introduce Real Community Church. Exciting weekend. If you're a part of Real Community Church, would you please go up on stage in the venue and in Olathe and at our South Urban Park campus? We're going to commission Real Community Church to go to Lee Summit. They are going out and starting. You know people in Lee Summit, by the way. And so they are starting September on Saturday. They do a Saturday service. Saturday, September 8th, and then Sunday, September 9th. Their website, realcommunity.church. You know people in Lee Summit or Blue Springs that you could invite to go to their church. And you could sit with them. And we're actually doing this twice, back-to-back weeks. And so it was, whenever church planters sit with me and they get through the process and both our team and they all know they're going to be a church planter, I offer them in a sack of gravel, picking out your own piece of gravel. And Shannon and I did it as well. He picked his piece of gravel. I said, this is church planting. It is smaller than you think. It is harder than you think. And other people don't think it's very valuable. But new sites and churches are better at making new disciples. It's about people's hearts getting transformed. So he had his piece of gravel on the front end. On the back end, give him the baton. So it was years ago that Jeff Adams, our sending pastor in church, had the baton, preached about the baton, then handed me the baton. And so I'm going to hand Shannon the baton right here. And each of the services, my stomach is at different states of sickness and joy, because I love these people. I know their stories and respect them greatly. And I'm handing the baton. I've been thinking about what to say. Each of the services is a little bit different. And so my encouragement to you guys is that a church's success is not based on how the United States views success, which is numbers and size. It's not. When you read Revelation 2 and 3, we have no idea how big those churches are. Now, no idea. It's based on faithfulness. Success in our life is based on Jesus Christ saying, I'm pleased. So that's my encouragement to you. I'm going to pray. And then at each of our locations, we have Real Community Church members. Would you guys lay hands on them at our locations? And would you also metaphorically kind of put your hand up and just put your hands on them right now. Put it up in the air. And would you pray as we commission Real Community Church? God, I thank you for Shannon, Holly, and this entire team. They're taking a step that frankly, it would scare some people, but it's just their next step. And I pray, God, as they're faithful to their next step with you, that your hand would be on them, that you would always keep in their minds Revelation 2 and 3 that the success of a church is not based on how many people go. It's not based on, you know, how their building looks. It's based on you being pleased with them, that they are taking their steps, whatever that is. Guide them on the journey. Protect them from the opposition that would want to shut them down or destroy them. God, I pray your hand of protection be on them. And Lord, I pray for the 70,000 people in Lee Summit, 70,000 who are unchurched. And how many hurting hearts are there that don't experience love, joy, peace, and need Christ? I pray that your hand be upon them, Lord.
Father, I just want to continue praying for them and thank you so much for all of them that have this pioneering spirit that are going out. And God, I pray that they wouldn't just reach only the 70,000, but that they would reach the million people that don't go to church in Kansas City, and that they would reach the 3.1 billion in that red area, and that it wouldn't just stop with them, but they would be a multiplying church that started other churches, not because we're about church planting, but because we're about filling heaven with people that glorify you, Jesus, that follow you and desire to please you. Thank you so much for all these pioneers, God. Thank you so much just for the future of church planting in Lee Summit and beyond. And we pray all these things, God, in your Son's powerful name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Woohoo! All right. I get my fourth hug. Fourth hug. All right.
Amen. Amen.
You have a great input.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. If you have questions or would like to contact us for prayer, please email us at info@visitgracechurch.com. For more information about our ministries, location, and service times, go to visitgracechurch.com.